income inequality.
All right, no, but basically, guys, so, like, do you think that globalization benefits the world, especially as it pertains to inequality, or does it do more harm than good?
I think from what Professor Polino has been teaching us the entire semester, and he said it in class the other day, he said essentially globalization is a double-edged sword in the way that it has a lot of benefits, but there's also a lot of costs that come with globalizing around the world. And I think everything we've touched upon this semester, like have and have-nots and parable of the sower, I think that's all shown what he's trying to teach us of how it's a double-edged sword.
So you're saying that it's a double-edged sword, huh?
Yeah.
I definitely agree with the double-edged sword analogy because I think that globalization is good when it's done right, and it helps to lower income inequality if it's done right. But with big businesses, I think that it helps to, like, increase inequality.
Well, how would you do it right?
I think that you have to be, like, conscious of, like, the people that are working for you. You have to make sure that they're, like, they're getting paid enough.
And, like, a living wage.
Yes, a living wage. There you go. And they need to be able to survive off of that.
So are you talking about my part of the proposal, my part of the presentation where I showed the woman that was a part of the Fight for 15 movement where she couldn't support her children
because
the minimum wage prices were not high enough for her to raise her children?
Exactly. I think globalization is a good thing, but only when it's done right.
Lewis, you had an interesting point about major corporations and globalization during your presentation. What do you think?
Well, I think some companies do help income inequality, while others tend to take advantage of it. Basically, like, some companies exploit workers. They take advantage. They don't pay them enough. But, like, the workers don't really care as long as they get their money, while there are other companies like Coca-Cola that I mentioned. It helps improve people's life, such as the program that's helping to help women start their own business, while other companies tend to
prevent them from succeeding like if they're supposed to.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of globalization being a positive thing, Yosef, what were some of the points that your dad was making about how when he was exposed to American culture, that really changed his life?
So basically, it's kind of like when you're exposed to things, sometimes the government doesn't want you to have these things. I mean, they kind of try to shield you from the inequality. So, like, they banned the movie The Catcher in the Rye in the USSR. Not like they originally thought, like, oh, look, you know, The Catcher in the Rye is, like, not like an upbeating story, you know, like, you're gonna be like, oh, wow, that place sucks. But what the movie audience took away from it was that even the poorest American owns a car, and they were like, wow, like, only the richest people here, what is a car, like, you know what
so
I mean?
They banned it after that knowledge was presented to them.
Kamari, what do you think about globalization?
I think that globalization is a good and a bad thing, but what Karen said, unless it's, like, done right, because you can't,
So when you say done right, do you mean, that everybody should be equal in how they're paid, and they should also be industrializing and globalizing their economy, while also trying to keep inequality levels, leveled?
That.
So let's say Milanovic. Does anyone remember how Milanovic proposed we would globalize and keep inequality levels at like a good level?
So yeah, basically, I mean, he wasn't the thing about inequality is you said that it's a double-edged sword, so you would. I mean, there is a way, right? Essentially, you can create equality just by making everybody poor. Like, that's really, I mean, if we're talking about equality, we're not really talking about the standard of, we're not really talking about the quality of life. But I think that the more interesting trade-off is that as globalization goes up and so does the quality of life, but inequality goes up alongside that, and that's a double-edged sword where, you know, you have the positives of it, where people live better and more people do so, but then on the other hand, there's some people who become billionaires, and there's some people who, you know, still end up struggling to survive for basic necessities, not as hard as it would have been had it not been for globalization, but, you know, there's still a great inequality that only gets greater.
I agree. I think that inequality is kind of, like, inevitable. Like, it's going to happen no matter what.
Okay, but I disagree with you, Karen.
Why?
Inequality happens... Okay, there's, like, other like big corporations that have to do with inequality. Like, they create inequality, but I think it also has to do with, like, an individual itself. So, let's say I was really poor. For example, my mom, she came from, like, a really poor background. She, her whole family was poor, but, like, my mom wanted to see... You know, she found, like, in herself that she wanted to get out from there. And she did all her best and everything to get out from there. She went to school, she graduated, she went to college. And she met other, she started, she met some people who were, like, up there. So she could, like, improve her life. So I think was inequality is that, yeah, corporations have a big deal to do, but it also has to have a big part to play. But, like, if you wanna be equal to other people, you gotta, like...
You have to work for it?
Yeah, you have to work for it. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Well, would you say
you have to work for it?
You're able to say that, and it definitely makes sense what you're saying, but how does that go with the fact that Milanovic claims that 80% of your standing in life comes from where you're born?
That's what I was going to get at. In some places, you don't have access to free education, so it's kind of like you're not... You don't have the choice whether or not you want to go to school. So a person may want to go to school. They just might not have the funds to go to school. And I think that's what really creates inequality.
Okay. You don't necessarily need education to progress. You know that, right?
Okay, but...
You can, like, with skills. College. With skills, you can also have skills in a certain...
Okay, I understand that. Okay, you can learn a trade and you'll be able to gain money, but at the end of the day, there's no way that you're gonna be equal,
like, right, to someone that has exactly, more opportunities, like, because of they're born in like that 20%.
Exactly.
That upper 1%.
I don't think everybody can ever be equal, meaning like everybody has all the same things, and like I feel like inequality is just like inevitable. Like, it's gonna happen no matter what. It has to happen.
It is inevitable, and in the world we're living in today, that's being shown. A lot of what we've talked about, especially after Parable of the Sower, is how our world is becoming very similar to Octavia Butler's vision of a dystopia. Would you say that the way our country's going, we're walking into a dystopia?
Yeah, I can see that.
Why would you say that?
Because if you think about it, it's like history is repeating itself. Like, everything that's been going on, like, all the crises, it's just, like, it's happened before.
I think the world is already a dystopic place. Like, maybe not in our country, like, because we have first world problems, not really so much as, like, third world problems. And when, like, you step out of America, you see, like, you take into consideration, like, all the other things that are happening.
This is what?
Like, places are getting bombed, people are dying over, like, little things. There's still genocides happening.
So we're almost shielded from the rest of the world, is what you're saying, because we're in the United States. What about the United States? Would you say the United States is on a course for disaster or a world similar to Parable of the Sower?
I think so. Like, for example, my topic, Airbnb, relates to that, because when they're taking away from, like, housing, like, to provide people with housing, it's going to start increasing homelessness. There's going to be people in, like, abandoned buildings, just like in the book, or just people trying to find places to stay.
Right.
You know what? I think that we're already living in a dystopia, all right? Look at the income inequality, man, all right?
It's only increased since 1970.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
According to Milanovic.
Right? The top, like, 5 richest people in the country have, like, more money than, like, the bottom 50% of, like, the world. Like, that's dystopic, man. Like, you know, all the forest fires and stuff, and, like, people getting, like, you know, they're, you know, decapitated and stuff all over the world, and, like, genocides and whatever. Like, that can happen here. I mean, really, that's, I mean, think about it. Milanovic said that the level of social unrest goes up as inequality goes up, and as our inequality goes up, our social unrest is going to go up, and then boom, it's a dystopia. Today you're not making $15 an hour, tomorrow you're chopping off some guy's hand. I mean, that's just the way it works. I mean, not like literally, but I'm just saying, like,
So what we're all agreeing on is that it's on a, so far our world and our country is on a, is on a downward spiral because of rising inequality levels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can globalization fix it?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's done right, yeah.
Okay.